Okay, we're here once again in our studio, and we have with us Randy Minen. Say hello, Randy.
Hello.
That's his voice. And Andy Jones.
Hi, Jim.
Thanks for joining me tonight, gentlemen. Our topic is how to plan and conduct an Andrew dinner. And our first question in our interview is for you, Randy. Just what is an Andrew dinner, and why is it called an Andrew dinner?
Well, it's an Andrew dinner because that's what you always called it. And I never really knew why, but yeah, Andrew Danner, he was a disciple that invited people to meet Jesus, and that's what he did with his brother Peter. So what we do is invite people to a dinner to share Christ.
Good. And what does one of these dinners look like?
Well, it's a way to invite people. It's a function to have to get people together as a crowd. And to bring them together.
So it's just you and some of your Christian friends inviting some of your non-Christian friends.
That's right.
Okay. And what happens at the dinner? Just give me a general overview. We'll get more details later.
Yeah. Well, the main goal is try to present the gospel in a non-threatening way.
Okay. So why have an Andrew dinner at all? Of all the ways to evangelize, why pick this one?
Well, it's a real natural way to present the gospel. People like to get together socially. We did the dinners as a tool to invite people and to get them together.
You know, I went to one of your Andrew dinners. I think we're going to talk about it in a little while, but I found it was a great way for me to make relationships with Christians and to hear the gospel and to hear some people talk about how the gospel really influenced their lives. And it was a great benefit to me as a non-Christian to go and build up relationships with Christians and also to hear some great discussions of Christ in people's lives.
Thanks. Yeah, one of the things that I've enjoyed about them is the teamwork. You know, it's different trying to share Christ with somebody at work. That's something we need to do. But there's a different spirit and a different opportunity to work together with another group. Plus, it gives you a deadline. You know, you always want to share Christ with this guy, but...
Yeah.
Man, you set that dinner, and you know, it really, really helps you to have a team praying for you, and pushing towards a common goal.
Plus, the guy that you're inviting didn't really feel like everyone's zeroing in on him. It's more of a crowd.
That's right. That's right. He's not the only target.
And
he doesn't feel like a target at all because there's a whole room full of people.
Right.
It's a very non-threatening
thing. He can blend in or he can participate.
Yeah, whichever he wants to do.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, Randy, how many Andrew dinners have you helped conduct?
We were talking about that earlier. I think it was six or seven. It's hard to
six or seven, and some of them were a series.
Yeah, some of them were one-time dinners, and then several were a series of lunches that we did.
What was the smallest attendance of a dinner that you've Andrew dinner that you've done?
We were talking about this the other day. I helped Phil Ernest do one, and there was three guys there. It's been a while. But, the hardest part on doing these dinners is the fear of rejection. You know, people are afraid to invite friends because they're afraid they're going to say no. And even though there was only one guy, well, there was three guys there, but one of the guys accepted Christ. This was one of his introductions.
There were three guests there?
Three guests there, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there were, how many of you were conducting the dinner? Four or five of you?
Well, it's Phil's home fellowship. I think there were 7 to 10.
So 7 to 10 guys invited their friends and got 3 to come.
Yeah, I think there was like 15 invited, and only three showed up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of like we were talking about. It's like the Nike theory: just do it. And it seems like every dinner we did, we always had fruit through that.
Yeah. What was the largest Andrew dinner you ever did?
Well, it was we did an Andrew lunch, and that was the series that we did. It was about 20 people showed up.
Right, that was a businessman's lunch. We held that at the Fort Worth Club, as I recall.
Yes, that's right.
Right, I think we had at least 20 guys at every lunch. A series of 4, is that right? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think it was 4.
I think it was 4. I think we had at least 20 guys at every lunch, at least 10 non-believers.
Yeah, it was.
I think at every one.
And amazingly, all the non-believers participated really well.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Have any idea how many guys have come to Christ through this process?
Well, I had a list. No, I'm just teasing. No, it's, I really don't know. Didn't really count, but I could think of some of the guys. I think five or six or seven.
Yeah, I have seven or eight just right off the top of my head. I don't know how many for sure.
There's several guys that became believers and went to other churches, but
right.
But we're really blessed.
And have any of those guys helped you conduct an Andrew dinner?
Well, Jerry Simmons helped a dinner that we had at Petroleum Club.
Right.
And I'm not even sure if he was a believer at the time.
I'm not sure either. I think Jerry may hold the record for most Andrew dinners attended as an unbeliever.
Right.
I'm not sure.
That's right.
I know he was at least two or three that I did, and I think he came to all those lunches.
He liked
and
them.
Several that
he
you did. Yeah,
yeah.
That's right. That's right. I wish he were here. It would be more fun picking on him if he were here. Andy, the dinner that Jerry and Randy threw at the Petroleum Club, I think you were my guest at that dinner.
That's right.
Of the guys that attended that dinner, how many had you met beforehand?
Well, I think that we talked about this a little bit. There were probably 20 fellas there, and I had met at least half or maybe more than half in advance, and that was really to your credit and the groundwork that you did, because just my going various places and your inviting me to many things, really over quite a period of time, I was able to have met at least half of those guys, and that was helpful to me to go to some place where I knew the people. And so I think what we're saying to the people who are preparing these Andrew dinners is that you might think about the people you're going to invite and see if you can't get them to meet some of the others who might go to the Andrew dinner in some other informal ways beforehand.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, one thing too is like that one dinner that we talked about where only three showed up. Those three knew everybody. And even though they were disappointed that their person didn't come, the guest was excited to see them. So it wasn't that bad if their guest didn't come at a particular time.
Well, and if you have that many people, if you can envision that particular dinner, you had seven or eight guys conducting the dinner. You invited 15 and three showed up. But when those three got there, they saw a dinner of 10.
Right.
It didn't look like it was empty.
And they didn't know
who was a guest.
Yeah, that's
and who
right.
wasn't.
That's
they
right.
had no idea.
Yeah.
They just knew that they'd met most of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that was fine. Now, Andy, you also attended another Andrew event with me, a lunch, right?
That's right. You and I and Steve Johnson and Jerry all went to Chili's at a lunch in... at that time, Jerry and I were non-believers, and it was a great opportunity for me to get to meet or possibly know better Steve, and I think that was the first or second time I'd met Jerry, and, we built some good relationships there. We got to know each other, and we gained a comfort level.
That was a little different kind of dinner than I had done before. Jerry and Andy had become good friends. Neither of them had yet come to Christ, but they both knew and understood the gospel. And so I took another Christian friend with me to a lunch with them and interviewed them in front of him so he could get to know them. And the questions I asked were, here is the process by which people become Christian. I laid out about six steps. And I asked them to just walk through each of those steps and describe where they were. And I knew them well enough,
mm-hmm.
and they knew the gospel well enough and were comfortable enough with that they didn't have, there was nothing offensive about that process at all. Some people would be threatened by it, but I knew these guys well enough that they wouldn't be threatened. And that was a really good time because it helped me crystallize in my mind where they were
right.
and what the next set of barriers were. So that was a lot of fun. What are kind of the major events, just the major items that happened at those dinners that you went to, Andy?
Well, of course, we enjoyed a meal together, and I'll really never forget. Without retelling the story, the gentleman told two stories that really brought his relationship to Christ home to me, and that was something that was you know, stayed with me. And then the other thing was, of course, we have an opportunity at the dinners for people like me to ask questions about the pygmies in Africa and the other questions that people on the track to becoming a believer just have in their minds.
Yeah, so kind of the major pieces are somebody sharing how their faith relates to some part of their life. With businessmen, I think I've used the same topic about four times, maybe five times. I just ask somebody in our group that's sponsoring the dinner to come and share how their faith, the Christian faith, impacts their business practices. That's a very popular one. And then the other one I like to use is a marriage. How does your faith impact your marriage? And I don't know that I've ever used a topic other than those two, except the lunches that we did with Bill Craftson were more about apologetics questions.
Yeah, that was on the seven questions that non-Christians ask.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He'd just go through them and start a discussion.
Right, like why do bad things happen to good people?
Right.
And aren't all religions the same?
Right. And as soon as somebody would spark on a question, then we'd have a discussion.
He'd run through a list. And that was a very good lunch, or very good way to do it, if you have a lot. Because we had people that were Jewish. We had people that were totally agnostic. We had a whole...
Had an atheist, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was... One thing that was amazing is everyone had an opinion. And people really think about those type of things.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always been amazed at the level of participation.
Yeah, and the way that we did that is every opinion was okay. We wanted opinions, but we always wrapped it up with the Christian perspective.
Right.
And it's really good because it's the only one that really made sense. but we didn't convey it that way. But
right.
It was a good way to conduct the lunches.
Right. Now, Andy, have you helped conduct an Andrew dinner yet?
No, I'm endeavoring on my first one.
Getting ready to launch one.
All right.
Good. Okay. So how, Randy, our D groups are getting ready to conduct an Andrew dinner. How do they plan an Andrew dinner? What's the first thing they should do?
Well, the first thing to do is to make a list and write out everybody that you know. And one thing, when you start writing lists, you really start becoming observant. Instead of walking by someone, you start talking to people and calling old friends and calling people that you haven't talked to in a while, and you know, try to get two or three or four names. And the thing is, if out of four names, statistically, if you just want to play it by the numbers, you're going to get one person to come. Remember one time we had a dinner and I invited four people and none of them came. I think three said, "Don't ever ask me again." I started thinking, boy, I need to get some new friends.
That might be kind of scary for people, what you just said. I've never had anybody tell me that.
Yeah, but the thing is I found out, bottom line, seriously, is I found out real quick who I was investing my time in, who was really serious about anything spiritual.
Hmm.
And it really caught me off guard who the people were. And I was able to really invest more time in those people.
Now, how far in advance do you need to start? So you're saying the first step is everybody in the group get together, make a list
right.
of the people that you're going to invite.
Make a list. Yes.
Okay, and that turns into a prayer list.
Right.
Right. Everybody starts praying.
Yeah, because if you don't pray, it's a whole waste of time. And I remember one time praying with Juan Cormitas on a list of guys. It was like three or four guys. And we prayed, we said, and it's one of the few times we actually did what we said we were going to do, but we prayed every single day for these guys. And all the guys accepted Christ.
My goodness.
Mainly because of prayer. Yeah. I'm just convinced.
Yeah. And so how far in advance do you need to, you know, the group is sitting down making this list now, and it's going to turn into a prayer list. How far in advance of the Andrew dinner do they need to do that?
Making a list?
About
three to four lists. About 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay, so at least 3 weeks. All right, so let's say that we have a date for our dinner now, and it's a month away, and we have a list of people to invite, and we're praying for them in our group and in our quiet times. What's the third step?
Okay, the it's very important, kind of what we were talking about earlier, but introducing them to your friends.
Okay.
Play volleyball, play golf. You know, just depends on what your interests are and their interests are. Mainly it's more important what their interests are. I've seen guys go out and play golf that, in fact, I think I've seen you, Jim, play golf in the church golf tournament.
You have, for that very reason. I think I played twice in the 11 years that I've been here. Both times, right. It was to meet guys.
To meet guys,
to go to Andrew Dinners, that's
so
right.
Yeah, so it's their interest. Find out what they're interested in. If they like movies, you go see movies. Just depends.
Now, that's right. I mean, it's nobody likes to go to a dinner in a room full of strangers.
Right.
But everybody likes to go to dinner with friends.
Yes.
Now, Andy, you said that you knew most of the guys at the lunch you attended and about half of the guys at the dinner you attended. How did you get introduced to everybody?
Well, it was largely through your efforts. We had a pretty good Sunday morning basketball game going for a while. We met, I think, over at...
For a while, meaning like 11 years, I think.
Right.
But, yeah.
And then we shared some... Christian tapes on how to get through marriages and address some of the issues in marriages with another couple, and we have there were luncheons and things that you took me to just over a period of years. We went to Promise Keepers, met several guys there.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Okay, now we have everybody introduced to at least some of the members in our group. What's next?
The thing to do is to decide where you're going to have it. Is it going to be a dinner at a restaurant? Is it going to be dinner in a home? Is it going to be lunch? We did lunches. So, like for us, some of the things we did is we realized that we were reaching out to businessmen. We did lunches on a Thursday because that was when most people were available. So, we just had to decide where to have it.
I can remember dinners at least at the Fort Worth Club, the Petroleum Club, Celebration.
Steak and Ale,
yeah. Chili's.
Any place, some of those places we never went back to because we couldn't get a quiet spot.
That's true.
That's why we kept bouncing around a little bit.
There's one great room at Celebration. Right. So whoever listens to the tape first, call right now and get that room reserved. Your date.
I think we had it reserved and we showed up and we were bumped.
Yeah, that's right. We did. We had to go to another table. That was a great dinner though. I remember that. We had several guys that came to Christ out of that dinner.
Yeah.
In the middle of the restaurant, we had it. That's good. How about somebody's home?
I think it's okay. I think it's okay, although if you can have it in a restaurant that's quiet, it's just nicer.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever been on a team with anybody that could cook.
Yeah. You have to cook, which I think we're going to go over in a second, but it's just nicer. It's a nicer way to do it. Like for lunches, too, by Thursday, people were ready to go out and have a lunch. They weren't so willing to commit to skip it to work.
Right. Okay, we have a place set. We have everybody praying and meeting each other. What next?
Now you invite them. You call them up.
And how do you invite somebody to a dinner like this?
Like I mentioned earlier, you don't want to be afraid. There is that fear of rejection. Everybody has that. No one ever wants
I'm not very afraid if I'm just inviting you to dinner.
Well, it's people are afraid of people saying no. And, because you really are reaching out and specifically trying to invite them to something that you really want them to come to, and of course, hopefully you've been praying for them.
The reason you're afraid though is you're not going to blindside them.
Right.
Right. You're not going to tell them. Andy, do you remember how you got invited?
I do not remember specifically. I just remember that I had a general interest and gradually more and more interest. And your approach was to ask me to several things, and I'm sure that I didn't go to all of them. I mean, but it was just a situation where my schedule was busy and your schedule was busy, and over a period of time, we just connected on enough things. Do you remember?
Well, you knew it was going to be more than a meal.
I think so. I'm sure I did, because I knew that there was a speaker and he was a Christian businessman, and I was interested to hear what he had to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I always try to develop some kind of invitation like this. You remember Randy from golf. Yeah, I remember Randy. Well, Randy and I are hosting a dinner for some friends, and we've invited Jerry. You remember Jerry that we went to the Rangers game with? And Jerry's going to speak for about 10 minutes on the topic of how my Christian faith has improved my marriage. And I'd like you to be my guest at the dinner. It's just that simple. They say no, they say no. They say yes, they can come, that's great. I've not had, my experience has been different from yours. I've not had people just reject it out of hand, don't ask me again, with that kind of invitation. Because it's very non-threatening. It's not about them.
Yeah. And I invited just about anybody that moved to me. I wasn't really specific.
I remember that.
Try to invite them.
That's right.
But for most people, no. But still, even if they're your good friend, just got to trust the Lord and not worry.
Cause, that's right. Because
I know I've talked to some people that are really afraid of a neighbor just rejecting
and
need to go ahead and do it.
Well, if you get rejected the first time, it doesn't mean that it doesn't weigh on their heart. It does weigh on their heart, and they know. I mean, it's in their heart they know that they need to be doing something like
this.
Right.
Yeah, I had a friend in Nashville that never came. We did one before I moved here, and he ended up accepting Christ. He said, "I always knew I needed to go, but I kept turning you down." Because
right.
He knew, like you
that's
said.
That's right. So take heart. That's right. That's good. Was there anything else you should tell people when you invite them?
If it's a dinner or lunch, be sure to tell them that you're paying for it. Don't make it too big a deal, but just slip it in because it's just nicer. It's nicer to say people like to be treated. Yeah, it's just a way of really expressing, hey, I really want you to come. Especially if it's lunch, you need to have a time limit on it because people can't take a long time.
Right.
If it's a series like we did, which probably most people won't do, some may, but be sure you specifically say it's like three lunches or
right.
It's not a communicate that it's not an indefinite commitment.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I always try to tell people if it's a lunch, of course, it has to be very short. We'll be done at 1 o'clock so you can get back to work.
Yeah, we always had lunch ready out when people showed up, too.
Right, right. Just have it on the table.
On the table.
So they can eat. And even at dinner, and dinner in restaurants, everybody, we've usually had people just order. But even then, I tell my guests, if you get uncomfortable or just need to go, we'll plan on leaving at 8 o'clock anyway.
Right.
But if you get uncomfortable or just need to go, just say, oh boy, I need to get home and we'll go.
Yeah.
We'll go right then.
Yeah, and whoever's talking needs to specifically keep it at a set time.
Yes.
You want to keep people.
It needs to be very short, very brief.
One thing
10 minutes.
We could do is we could make a list of possible speakers that would be available to people from among our church. Just, you may know some, a lot of the leaders may know people, but, there's probably something you could get up and talk about.
Well, there certainly is, and there are lots of people in the church that could do that. It is preferable for somebody in the group.
In the D group?
In the D group. That's part of the deal. That's not a requirement, but it's preferable for somebody in the group to do it. Yeah, and then there's one assignment that we'll get to in a minute that it must be somebody in the group. Talk about that in just a moment. So the time limits, our experience has usually been that people want to stay and talk.
Yeah.
I remember the one we did at Celebration. It was like 10:30.
Yeah. Yeah, the speaker and the program is a set time. But, people, especially at dinner, people at lunch did not. But
we must have covered four or five of the major apologetics questions.
Yeah. One thing, too, Jim, I don't want to jump ahead, but one thing we always did, too, or tried to, is offer to pick them up.
Right.
And it's harder to procrastinate or skip out on it if they're pulling up your curve to pick you up.
Right. You find out who is seriously accepting the invitation.
Right.
Because they're willing to be picked up, which is a pretty high commitment.
Yeah.
And then you also get to talk to them on the way home.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes that's the best time of the whole dinner.
Yeah. What do you think
talking
of that?
What
do you think about this question? Yeah.
Right.
It really is.
And if you sense any discomfort at all, the next question is. So you want to go to a basketball game next week?
It's a good way to schedule something else.
That's right. There's no way to pin people down. Okay. So So it's the night of the dinner. You pick up your guest. You get to the dinner. So either one of the group members or somebody else shares for a few minutes on some topic. What you would recommend, Andy? What's a good time? 10 minutes?
Yeah, certainly no longer than 30, and 10 to 15 to 20.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah, 30 I think is a reach a little bit for a group of this size. Could get pretty uncomfortable.
Especially 10. At a lunch, 30 would probably be too long.
Yeah, 10 to 15.
It depends on the talk, kind of talk to you. Some people like to talk in, like a businessman, mm-hmm. and take questions.
Right.
And people ask them specific questions.
Right.
How do you deal with this?
Right. And then what happens? Well, the answer is what happens then is one of the group members shares a gospel illustration, like the bridge or the Baugh. And everybody in the D groups will be learning the Baugh illustration, believe, admit, agree, acknowledge, and accept. It can be shared in about 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes. And so one of the group members will share that illustration with the group.
Kind of lay out the path to commitment.
Right, right. It is a definition of what a Christian is, according to the Scripture. You know, just the Bible has something to say about this, about what a Christian is. And it's a very simple 5-step. These are the elements of being a believer, of being a Christian. So that's the last step, and I'll review all those steps in just a moment. But Randy and Andy sounds like a comedy trio. Randy and Andy, it sounds like both of you have had a lot of fun with Andrew Dinners. Is that true, Randy? You've talked about being scared a couple of times and rejected. But
Oh yeah, it's fun. It like I said before, just seems like anytime we did something, we always saw fruit. And that's really exciting to see people come to Christ.
I can't think of any Andrew Dinner I've ever done where there wasn't someone in attendance who was not a believer who later became a believer.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think I've ever done one.
No.
I remember coming away and thinking, you know, that's a great bunch of guys. And then in the case of the one where we had a speaker, the speaker was very powerful. And it made a big impression. So, it was great.
Positive experience.
You bet.
Very good. So I'm going to review those steps again. If I made my notes right as we went through this, there are 10 easy steps. Number one, make a list. Number two, pray for that list daily. Make a list of people to invite. The whole group would do that. Make a list of people to invite. And then number two, everybody in the group commit to praying for that group on a regular basis, maybe daily, until the dinner. Number three, introduce the people that have been invited to as many members of the group as possible. And number four, fourth step would be invite those people to the group. Again, we can't waylay them. They have to know what's coming. So invite them. Let them understand that it's a Christian theme and that there'll be some discussion, and it's oriented around a Christian theme. And again, a good way to do that is somebody will be speaking for just a few minutes about how their Christian faith has impacted their marriage or their business practices or something of that nature. So invite them. And inviting them means they're your guests, so you pay for their dinner and offer a time limit too, and a way for them to escape if they're uncomfortable and to get out. The fifth step, get a place. The sixth step, fix it up. If you're doing it at a restaurant or in a club, you may not need to decorate, but it might not be a bad idea to decorate. I've even done a couple where we had live music because we had some real talent in the group, and so we had decorations and live music. We've done that at home, in a home once too. So that sixth step, fix it up, that's optional, but it might be appropriate. The seventh step, ride to dinner together. Get your guest to ride with you in the car, perhaps with another member and his guest. I prefer actually to go alone with my guest so that I can talk to them on the way home about the content of the dinner and get their impressions. Number eight, somebody gives a short talk. This is the testimony plus impact. This is how my Christian life has impacted some part of my life. Number nine, share the gospel illustration we'll be using in the groups. The Baugh, the B-A-A-A, believe, admit, agree, acknowledge, and accept. That's an illustration that you'll be All of you in the groups will be learning in the next week or so, and someone in the group will share that in under 5 minutes at the meeting. And then the 10th step is just be sure to have fun. So that's it. I'd like to thank Randy and Andy for joining me, and that's the end.